Welcome to the latest episode of Conversations on the State of Healthcare. This is produced as a partnership between the North Carolina Healthcare Association and the North Carolina News Network. Hospitals play a key role in emergency readiness throughout the state of North Carolina. And as vital community resources, hospitals must be prepared alongside police, fire, rescue, and other emergency responders and public safety services for any scenario that ranges from natural disasters like hurricanes and wildfires to, of course, things like pandemics and terrorism and mass casualty incidents, including shootings. They also must prepare for and respond to injuries and illness that might occur at mass gatherings, things like concerts and sporting events that attract large crowds. Today, we are discussing the role that First Health Moore Regional Hospital played at the U.S. Open in Pinehurst. That event attracted more than 240,000 fans to North Carolina's Sandhills region. We welcome Jonathan Davis. He is the First Health of the Carolinas Chief Operating Officer and President of Moore Regional Hospital, and Dr. Catherine Newell, Assistant Medical Director for First Health EMS and an Emergency Medicine Physician. We welcome you both. Let's start with the basics. How does your hospital prepare for major disasters and events where there is a potential for an influx of patients? Just logistically alone, that seems to be an incredible feat.
Yeah, it's one of those I think we're in a constant readiness for. We are, as a health system, we're four acute hospitals, a number of clinics across 15 counties. And, you know, we really look at our role and responsibilities in this region is to take care of all patients. That includes large events. So, you know, our hospital's constantly preparing for about any scenario that would occur. We establish really daily practices and processes to improve safety at all levels of the organization. And, you know, it's interesting. We start our day with an 8:30 safety huddle that focuses on every single entity we have. It lasts 30 minutes. And we call it looking back, looking forward in our day, so to kind of highlight and bring forward any concerns or organizational issues, community issues that may occur so that we can address those. So, you know, beyond that, many times through the year, we have drills, you know, focused on keeping our patients and community safe, specific drills that ensure, you know, our process and personnel equipped to deal with any kind of extraordinary circumstances. We've had a few of those, and, you know, I guess COVID for any health system across the country would be one of those. And then, you know, many of our exercises, we coordinate with internal stakeholders, external, like law enforcement or governmental agencies and first responders. So, you know, our goal is not only to be prepared, but to think differently and continuously identify risk in our day, every day, and validate and verify our processes and look at how we can continue to improve, you know, improve our performance and look to be ready for any infrequent or disruptive event that occurs.
Did you do this sort of planning prior to the pandemic?
We did. I would say maybe to a lesser degree. Probably all health systems have had drills. You know, we have drills today that are just part of our work in taking care of patients, whether it's a code blue, taking care of a patient that codes, or, you know, fire drills, et cetera. So I would say we had those. You know, some would call cold silver as a shooting incident in your organization that you practice. But I would say, you know, COVID required us to think differently. And beyond running a drill, you have to think differently. And I think it tuned us up a little bit and got us prepared to think about how we continue to deliver care and how we can have this kind of shared consciousness across the organization to just do work completely different than we've done it before, including 24 hours ago. And COVID kind of got us prepared for that.
And do you look at some events that take place around the country and say, okay, well, we didn't prepare for this scenario, so let's kind of adjust our thinking and maybe now we prepare for this scenario as well, like learning from I don't want to say the mistakes of others, because some things definitely can't be thought about prior to happening, but does that kind of evaluation happen?
Absolutely. So we've looked at, you know, I think there was a shooting in Dallas and maybe a couple of years ago, and then before that in Tulsa and hospitals and the clinic. And so we sought out those leaders and those organizations to learn from them. What did they do? What would they have done differently? You know, we learned from our community stakeholders, you know, our local police departments, and what incidents have they seen, you know, and And they participate in some of our kind of, you know, tests of change and kind of process changes and drills in the organization and give us feedback. We have a lot of good debriefs, you know, and so every event that happens, you could have everything from a power outage to a weather issue to, you know, an IT disruption. You know, we're constantly looking at, you know, a debrief and understanding, okay, how did that occur? Did we communicate effectively? Did we have a backup plan? Did we move our resources around to continue to take care of our patients? And that includes patients coming into the organization. So, you know, I think that's just a constant readiness that you're always thinking about as an organization.
We're speaking with Jonathan Davis. He is the First Health of the Carolinas Chief Operating Officer and President of Moore Regional Hospital. So a couple of years ago, two power substations were damaged by gunshots in Moore County. It was an intentional act, leaving tens of thousands of people without power. I'm assuming that impacted your hospital, and if so, how did it impact your hospital and obviously the community?
Yeah, it did. You know, I think we were impacted. Probably, you know, it's interesting. I'd say lesser than others because we have backup generators. So we're required to have alternative fuel source generators and kind of backup to a backup. And so we ran diesel and covered kind of all of our mandatory areas across our hospital. And we have to meet regulatory requirements to maintain our fuel, to cover certain aspects of power for our OR, for our ER, for lots of different locations in the hospital. So for us, again, going back to that philosophy of a culture of safety, we have a, you know, in our daily safety huddle, the way we orchestrate our discussion every day is built on communication. And that's just what happened when the two power stations went out. I happened to be in the hospital when it happened on a Saturday, and I think it was just we were able to open up our command center really quickly. We were able to kind of, you know, assess the inventory of issues we were going to have, what was going to be open, what was going to be closed. Certainly closed some of our clinics because they did not have power, certainly the local ones. And then just began kind of cataloging patients that were going to come in and how we were going to do emergent procedures versus reschedule more elective cases and continue to run the organization. So, and we did that with, you know, all of our partners. We canceled some elective surgeries, rescheduled those. We had people come in. We served as a charging station for a lot of people to come in and just power life-saving devices. So, but our safety culture and the way we have that process built every day, we just kind of go back to that when we have an instance, and we were able to open that command center. We were in the command center every hour of the day. There was someone managing that, communicating. We were communicating with a local utility about when they would project the power to be back up. And so for us, we were running and did not have the disruption like a lot of businesses or homes without power at all, but were able to kind of mitigate and bridge across to the power came on 3 or 4 days later.
I'm assuming that your planning for things like that is very similar to planning for hurricanes and other big weather events. Can you talk a little bit about how you plan for natural disasters?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do a risk assessment every year. So we look at our geographic area. We look at certain events that have occurred around our region, and we prioritize our events. And often that can be, you know, you're right, it can be a hurricane that will come towards us. It could be a winter storm. It could be ice and a power outage issue. So we do an overall assessment across our, understand where our risks are, and then those are the drills we practice. So we have covered that in the drill, and we're ready for that too. We're ready to manage that event when it occurs.
Okay. And do you coordinate an exchange or sharing of personnel and resources and things like that? Or is it pretty much every hospital stays insulated?
We absolutely. So, you know, that's part of our safety huddle every day. We're on as a system. So every hospital is on there. We are coordinating resources, moving resources wherever they need to be. We've had issues where our Richmond facility needed something, we moved patients or staff to that area. In this instance, I think we had Hoke and Richmond that still had power when Moore did not, and even our Montgomery Hospital. So we were able to even move some, you know, diagnostic testing to some of those places, move clinic visits if they wanted to alter their clinic time. So really do some things to kind of help our patients gain access to things we might not have had or reschedule.
And these are so much more than patients to you folks, because you are also members of the communities in which you work. So how do you balance being both a healthcare provider and a member of the community during a time of crisis?
That's an excellent question. I think staying really close to our partners, our community partners, first responders, our police, our local leaders, communicating effectively with them has been crucial for us. And so, I think that's just the biggest part is, letting them know what's going on, including them in the conversations, talking them about our daily processes and what our actions are going to be. I think it's like one large family. So we have each other's cell phone numbers. We're able to communicate directly and even include some in our safety huddle or our command center work so that everybody knows what's going on.
That's super. And it's obvious that you really care not only about what you do, but about your communities. And it's very impressive that you participate. I had no idea you did it as often as you do to continually assess and evaluate the emergency or potential emergency needs of both the community and the hospital, the staff and the operational side of things.
Thank you so much. I think it's certainly our mission to ensure the safety and well-being of our community that is done together, is done best together, and we need to listen to our community, understand what the needs are, and then be prepared, even for the untoward event to take care of them. So I think we're good at that, and we see it as an honor to be able to serve our community.
And joining us also to talk about this is Dr. Catherine Newell. She's the Assistant Medical Director for First Health EMS and an emergency medicine physician. Thank you, Dr. Newell, for joining us and taking the time out of your what must be an incredibly busy schedule.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you tell us the steps that you took to prepare for the U.S. Open in Pinehurst?
We collaborated pretty closely with the USGA. We met with their organizers who have extensive experience staging these events all over the country. We thought of some hazards, and while thinking of hazards in general could be difficult but not impossible to predict for an outdoor event of this scale, we anticipated heat-related issues such as heat exhaustion or dehydration among guests. Additionally, we prepared for potential incidents like car accidents due to the increased traffic and visitors to our area. Our doctors, nurses, and medical staff were ready for anything that week. We spent about a year beforehand meeting with federal, state, and local representatives to ensure a thorough preparation for the event.
And when you say USGA, you're talking about the U.S. Golf Association.
Yes. We had First Health volunteers stationed at medical tents throughout the course to assist attendees with any medical needs. While most event-related illnesses and injuries are pretty minor, our hospital made surge plans with primary, secondary, and even tertiary locations in the event of an increased patient volume. And then First Health further stood up a command center ready to quickly address any patient surges should it arise.
A patient surge would be an increase in the number of patients?
Yeah, increase in number of patients or plus or minus increased number of patients with a high acuity. I think most people would think of that as like a mass casualty situation.
Okay.
But it's kind of a spectrum. So we were ready in our command center for any part of that spectrum should it arise. As an anchor site for the USGA in a pretty small community, our medical staff is pretty invested here. We all live here and we take pride in providing excellent medical care for our neighbors and our visitors. While many of our volunteers in medical tent had volunteered at previous US Opens, their experience was very helpful for this year's tournament, and most have already committed to future events.
Oh, that's really great to hear. So does that help or hurt the fact that your staff is part of the community and really invested in, what happens, and some of your patients may be your friends and neighbors?
Exactly. Well, it was very, very helpful in a small community, too, as a hospital administrator. First Health was dedicated in allowing our staff members that wanted to volunteer to be able to volunteer because the hospital still has to run as well and to serve the patients that are already there. So they were committed in allowing our any volunteers to be able to still volunteer and help us with the event. And I think when you are a part of our community and you may know some of the patients, I think it provides even better patient care.
I think I know the answer to this question because we were there and we saw it firsthand and how things went. But in your mind, how did it go and did you learn any lessons?
Yeah, I think it was very, very busy, but I think it went well. There were over 200,000 visitors for the tournament, and naturally the community saw a similar influx of visitors. We staffed 3 strategically placed medical tents to provide prompt professional medical care as needed. Throughout the week, over 2,400 patients were treated in these medical tents. We collaborated with state regional partners, particularly our colleagues at Moore County EMS, to meet any needs of spectators and visitors. Throughout the tournament, if you were there, you experienced the severe heat that we had. We appreciated the USGA staff's preparations ahead of time, as well as swift responses, providing ice packs, coolers, and cold drinks as necessary. Our tents were well-staffed with a multidisciplinary team of nurses and doctors, as well as paramedics, which allowed us to safely care for any patients with whatever needs they had. Of the 2,400 seen, only about 30 patients required transfer to our hospital system. The hospital operated smoothly throughout the week. They further allowed for increased care capacity by extending the hours of convenient care and the availability of First Health's telemedicine program, First Health on the Go, for visitors as well. We're excited for 2029, which will be the next U.S. Open here in Pinehurst, and they'll be even more involved as well will be the women's and men's tournament next time.
Thank you, Dr. Newell, for providing such great insight and for your not only hard work at the U.S. Open and in preparation for the U.S. Open, but for the amazing work and dedication that you put forth every day. Really appreciate it. And we thank you for joining us. For more information on this and any of the topics covered in our conversations on the state of healthcare, you can visit nchealthcare.org. This podcast is a product of a partnership between the North Carolina Healthcare Association and the North Carolina News Network. I'm Christine Bellino. Stay well.